Do you know every time that my family has moved from one location to another, there's always been this sentimentality before we leave our house that says, you know, remember all the good memories here, and some tears well up. So I didn't know what this morning would be like, this being our last time in the gym. Let me check. Nothing. I got nothing, right? I got nothing. So the sentiment is a little bit different. In fact, I've been reliving stories of glory days of Levite ministry, of setting up and tearing this place down. I can't tell you how many times my fingers have been smashed, how many times I've bled here. I have some very fond, distinct memories. And this is not an accident that this cart is here before you today. In case you've missed the last 6 years of church life, I wanted to fill you in on how exciting some things have been. This is one of three carts. This is a super cart, not a Mario cart, but a super cart. It is beefed up with wood underneath and much heavier duty bolts than a normal table cart. We load this up with tables, with drum shields. We stack it high with bins that weigh too much money. And we wake up and we get out here about 6:15 in the morning and open up the pod in rain and sleet and hail. There is no weather that we don't come out on a Sunday morning. And we push this thing and we do it again and we do it again for 6 years. And I tell you what, I'm not going to miss this cart one bit right here, okay? So I've been wondering and asking God, you know, for about 5.5 years, God, how long are you going to keep us in the elementary school? Why don't you just provide a place? And it dawned on me this week as I was thinking about it and as I was praying about it, one day I'm going to be a grandfather. This is very serious. And I'm going to sit down with my grandson and I'm going to say, Sonny, you have no idea what doing church is all about, right? When I was your age, we had to push carts uphill to go to church. In the snow, in the sleet, in the rain, uphill both ways. And we'd take it down, we'd show up the next day, we'd do it again. So you don't complain about having to wake up early and go to church, right? I'm ready to put the last 6 years behind us. How about you? Right? Ready to move on. So as we seek to do that, could it be that some of us in this room have some things following us in our past that we need to put behind us as well? You know, my grandfather, speaking of him, this is going to be a rabbit day, right? My grandfather had a favorite joke that he always told. He said, you know, one day I was working and I had some things I had to pick up at a corner store. And so I pulled in and this real nice man riding a scooter helped me load up my trunk with what I had. And so then, you know, I pulled out, but I noticed he pulled out right behind me. As I sped down the road, he came flying around me on my left side and he was making some bad gestures at me. I just thought, what kind of bitterness, you know, is this? And so, man, I was going to show him. So I just hit that accelerator and sped past him. But sure enough, a few seconds later, after I'd sped past him, here he comes flying past me on the left side even faster. And this time, his face is a little red and he's shaking his fists at me. Oh, it just got my blood boiling. And so I thought, man, I'm in a car. He's in this little scooter. We'll see who can pass who. So I really hit it this time and I flew past him. And sure enough, a few seconds later, whoom, he just rode past me so fast, really angry this time. And I thought, there's only one way to settle it. I passed him and I pulled off on the side of the road to just settle this like the old fashioned Navy way, right? And then as soon as I opened the car door and he jumped off his scooter, I said, what's going on? Are you mad about what you loaded? He said, no, but I shut my suspenders in your trunk when I was closing the trunk door. It, you know, we don't wear suspenders anymore, but they're stretchy. It would pass around. And some of us with our past, no matter how hard we try to get away from it, it just keeps coming back and coming back, doesn't it? And we think one time after it rears its ugly head and shakes its fist at us that this time, man, I'm really going to get away. I'm going to put some distance in between me and it. And then it comes back with a greater vengeance the next time, doesn't it? Just like having its suspenders stuck behind us, our past keeps coming up. What do we do about it? How can we really put it to death? See, we have two forms of our past that follow behind us. We have the bad stuff. I mean, how many of us in this room did something really stupid when we were 16 and it still follows us around, right? So we have the bad stuff that follows and it won't leave. And then we have the good stuff, those accolades, those laurels that we hold on to where we still want to live in the past instead of in the present. But the more we try to distance ourselves from it, the greater it comes back. You know, when I look at my own life, I see mountaintop experiences where I think, man, I wish everybody in this room could see what the Lord was doing in my life at that time, and how he shaped me, and how I praised him for the good things. Just as those mountains are there, I have so many valleys where I think I'm glad nobody could see what happened in that valley. And I wish I could just erase all of that from my past. But whatever was to my profit, whatever was to my gain, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained all of this or am already made perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Forget what is behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Father, give us wisdom to understand and know your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, over the last few weeks, we've had some great examples of how to deal with past problems. The IRS, for one, has said, here are some trouble spots in our lives, right? And so we're going to target whoever we don't like and make life painful for them. And so we've seen over the last few weeks what has happened with our IRS, and there's been an outcry to say, this isn't right. It's been a violation of our rights. So we've seen how when they focus and target on what was bad, how's that working for the IRS? Not good. Not a good time to be working for the IRS. You might lose your job, right? Sorry, IRS employees, I'm sure you're safe in here. So some of us use that approach with our past. I'm going to focus on the bad things until I can just get them out of the way. That doesn't work, church. It never has, it never will. And we've learned of even greater troubles this week, right, with our government, how like they're monitoring everything in our lives. And there's been this outcry of, are they listening to every phone conversation that I have? And what they've done is just take this blanket sweep across all of the United States to say, we're just going to monitor everything and make sure that everything is going okay. And that's not a good thing for our government right now, is it? Because the outcry is great right now. And some of us with our past say, oh, I'm just going to wipe over everything and I'm just going to keep doing that over everything. Just look, I'm looking at the big picture of my past and not at one specific thing. And eventually it's just going to go away. And it doesn't work, does it? It's bad every time. It'll still rear its ugly head sometime. So how do we deal with it? How do we put it to death so that it stops coming up every year, or when we listen to a particular song, or when we smell something that jogs a memory, to keep those things from rearing their head in our past? Well, Paul starts it out in an amazing way right here, right? We need to develop this attitude of Paul. Here's what he says at the beginning, basically. He says, I will not let anything interfere with total trust in Christ Jesus, with total commitment to this relationship in Christ Jesus. See, whatever gain I had, Paul had just gone through and he had listed all the accolades of his life to this point. Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them rubbish. Man, I'm not going to let anything interfere with this total trust in Christ. Look at what he writes here. Whatever gain I had, that Greek word, kurta, this gains, it's all the things that Paul wanted to define him. All the accolades that he had just listed. So how do you want people to define you? Well, I want them to see how hard I work at my job, and they're going to know I'm a good worker. That's going to be a distinguishing attribute. Well, I want them to see my kids and see how great of a father I am and that I'm going to have a legacy that lasts with my children. Well, I want them to walk into my office. I want them to see my education, and my diplomas are going to be on full display, and they're going to know that I'm smart and that I paid the price to know what I know, right? What are the things that we want to define us? Here's what Paul says. I count those things as loss. As loss. Compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus. I don't want the best things in my past to define me. But then he goes along another sentence. He says, I count everything as loss, and for the sake of Christ, I've lost all things. That's another word, panta, where those are the things that are bad from his past, right? The things that he doesn't want to define him, he counts those as loss as well. What are those things in your life? What are those things that you try to sweep under the rug? Oh, nobody's looking. I look at internet pornography. I don't want anybody to know. Well, nobody knows at work, but I've been continuing this lie, and I've got everybody believing this lie because I'm so good at it. Jonathan, if you would have known what I did when I was 17 years old, maybe you would change the way you thought about me a little bit. Paul says, those things in my past, I'm counting those at loss. I don't want that to define me. I want Christ to define who I am. Man, now that's not letting anything interfere with total relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's what Paul says. He says, I count those good things and I count those bad things as rubbish. Now that's a fancy word that I don't like in the Bible. Okay, rubbish. The word could mean rubbish, but I don't think that's what Paul intends right here. I think that's the way we've glossed over it. You know, the proper word there is dung, excrement, poop. Sounds gross, doesn't it? It's the only place it's in the New Testament, and that's how graphic the word is. Paul says, you know what I think about my past? It's like poop, man. It's in the past. And the good things and the bad things are that excrement that I consider lost. That's what I think about my past because it is not going to define me. That I will not let that speak to who I am. I want Christ to define who I am. Do you know a lot of you let the good things in your past define who you are? Because they're good, and that makes me who I am. But if that's your choice, then you can't help but the bad things be allowed to accompany those good things. It's only in counting it all as loss that we can say, Christ, you are who I am. And your voice shapes my heart and shapes my attitude in Christ Jesus. You know, this past week we celebrated with Hayes High School and Lehman High School as so many graduated, and just exciting to see the graduates. And I always try to tell those who are graduating that you have such a unique time in your life that you're never going to see again. And so many of us probably wish we could rewind the clock to that one time. And I'm not talking about all the years of college, but there's a uniqueness when you leave high school and then that summer you step on to that college campus that wipes the slate clean. And when you step onto that college campus, it doesn't matter if you were the captain of the football team or the captain of the chess team, you're all the same on that first day when you're freshmen, aren't you? Because none of you can wash your jeans properly. None of you know how to provide food for yourself. Everybody's the same. Well, I was a captain of the football team. Who cares? Can you wash my jeans, right? We're all on the same playing field. When we go to Christ and say, this past is like dung to me, and from now on, I'm going to let the cross dictate who I am and speak to who I am and define me, that slate is wiped clean. The power of Jesus Christ. Paul says this, that I've considered this stuff rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. See, when we want to get rid of our past and put it to death, then we have to have this attitude of Paul that says, I will explore the riches of Christ Jesus. I will continue to explore these riches every single day. Do you see how in this whole last half of this paragraph, it's all in the present tense? All right, it's continuing. It's happening right now. Now the problem is when we get stuck in our past, we're stuck there, right? Whether it's good or whether it's bad, that's where we're stuck. But God is concerned with our present right here. I will continue to explore the riches of who God is. Paul says this, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. You know why I'm going to consider this rubbish? Because I found something better. And I found it in Christ Jesus. Some of you sitting here might not know exactly what that is. What are the riches that we explore? Well, Paul starts listing them off. He says that I have a righteousness that comes from God that depends on faith, not my own works. That means we're justified before the Lord. That means we're declared not guilty before the Lord. That means that all of that sin and all of that past that would speak to Jonathan, say, Jonathan, you're guilty. You're a sinner. What's your problem? That in one swoop with the cross of Jesus Christ, God has hammered down his gavel and said, Jonathan, you are not guilty. Be free. That is the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Man, that's what I want to explore, right? That's the riches that I want to jump into. Some of us in this room, because we've been a Christian for several years, think, well, I already learned that about the cross, and I want to move on to something else. There is no moving on to something else. There's just other stuff with that. Even today, the only reason that I stand in front of you is because the cross is between me and you, testifying before the Father on my behalf. Because my past would speak to me and say, Jonathan, you don't deserve to get up here and do this. Paul says it's all because of Jesus. Man, that's what I want to explore, right? Why do I want to explore the dung in the past? I want to explore this, Jesus, your riches. Speak to me with this. Paul says, hey, it's not only on this thing that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and I may share in the fellowship of his sufferings. That's our sanctification. That means that's the process that Paul is describing where God is making us holy. Do you realize right now God is at work in your life to make you holy, to make you like Jesus Christ? In the good things and the bad things, God wants to use it all to make you like Jesus Christ, to make you holy. Church, he's not finished with you yet. Isn't that cool? Man, that's what I want to explore. You mean God is working in me right now? You bet it he is. In the good and the bad to make you like Christ. Why do I want to be stuck over here in the past? No. Sanctify me, Lord. I want to know you, the fellowship of your sufferings, the power of your resurrection. And we talk about the cross when we talk about being justified, but the resurrection of Jesus when he comes marching out of that tomb gives us the ability to put one foot in front of the other day after day and live for Jesus in the power of his resurrection. Praise the Lord for who he is, right? Paul doesn't even stop there. Look at this. It keeps getting better and better. Becoming like him by his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. He says there's a future in store for him. One day that we will be glorified from Jesus, with Jesus, right? Whether I see him riding from the east to the west on a horse of white, or whether I'm laying in a tomb and I hear him call out my voice, that I will rise up and be glorified in Christ Jesus, and that sin that tangles me up today will be no more in his presence. Now that is glory right there. And that day is coming. Paul says, that's what I keep my eyes on. One day we'll be glorified in Christ Jesus. Man, we talk about the cross being justified, the resurrection being sanctified. Church, this is our resurrection. This is our future. Don't let the past tell you what your future is. Let Jesus tell you what your future is. And trust him and walk with him. Man, kind of getting excited. I want to keep going. You know, when we look at setup and teardown over the last 6 years, and I look back over our past, there's some distinct memories. Bleeding times always come out. I mean, even this morning, I was pulling out this OSB board that we use as a ramp, and this big old splinter got into my hand. Then I pulled out one of those little carts. And unfortunately, Paul, I had to witness this, but we pull these bungees so tight, and I hit the cart in just the right way that the bungees came off and just smacked me so hard. It was just a great little reminder that we're a mobile church and a set up. I have a distinct memory of a cart rolling over Chris's barefoot, right, and blood walking wherever he steps. But more than anything, this is the memory that I have about set up and tear down. Yeah, some of you have been setting up and tearing down, right? There is a cardinal rule with set up and tear down that every time these will spill. It doesn't matter what card it's on, doesn't matter who's pushing it. In fact, it's almost become comical of, watch out, that's the Lego cart. You're going to have to pick up Legos in a few minutes. I mean, we've put them with the carpets, we put them on the Lego carts. They always spill. I've already picked these up today. They spilled on the way up here. I don't understand what it is. So I remember about 2.5 years ago saying, God, you know, really? Legos? I mean, come on. The pavement is hot every Sunday. Do I have to be on my hands and knees picking up Legos? And I realized that, you know, this is just life. Things are going to spill. Things are going to be messy sometime. That's life. That's day-to-day living. And I started realizing that, and now we started having fun with Legos. You know, every time they spill, hey, there's a Lego spill. All right, who did it this time? And when somebody, it was their first time to be on our crew, we would say, man, that's never happened before. I can't believe you spilled those Legos. But you know what I'm happy about today with these Legos? This is fun. Woo! See you later, Legos, right? Because next week, next Sunday, I'm not picking up Legos, right? There is a day in my near future when that is gone. Church, and hear this. There is a day in our future where sin will be no more. And that thing that has entangled us will be gone forever. Now that is worth looking for and being excited about, right? Don't dwell in the past. How silly is that? I got a future. I'm excited about that future. Look at what Paul says. Man, and putting the past to death, he says this, I may know him. I do all of this that I may know him. When we want to put our past to death, we need to seek to know Jesus Christ. Right? This word is gnosko. This is more than, we know that 2 + 2 = 4. We know that. But to know the way that Paul is talking about, this is to be aware of it, to feel it deep down in our pit, to be sure and confident of it. It's a little bit more than 2 + 2 = 4. I want to know Christ. He says there's two ways that we're going to know him. In the power of his resurrection, that's the first way. I love that way. That's a way that I want to just spend all my time talking about, right? Some of us have made the power of his resurrection like this mystical magic trick. I want to know the power of his resurrection because I want to have his power at my fingertips. That's not the power of the resurrection. You know, the power of the resurrection is that the pain of sin and the pain of death doesn't have a hold of me anymore. That pain of sin and death has been broken like shackles that have been cut in two, and I'm free from that pain of sin and death so that I can walk in that freedom. That some of us think, oh, I want the power of the resurrection. I want to be able to wield this some mystical power of the resurrection, when we're not even walking in the power of the resurrection because we're letting our past dictate who we are. Paul says, no, I want to know you, Jesus, in my heart to feel confident about who you are, to be sure, to be aware of you and all things and walk in that freedom. He says, I want to know you in the fellowship of sharing in your sufferings. What? Why did he have to put that in there? Because he wants to be like Christ. Do you know the only reason that I can fathom being excited about Lego spilling is that I know one day the Legos aren't going to spill anymore. You know, the only reason I can put in my head that I can have joy when I go through pain and when I go through sorrow is to know that Christ went through those things and that he rose from the dead and there's a future for me, and so I can meet that struggle with joy set before me. Because there's a future for me and a hope for me. The only way that I can explain on Friday night that for the joy on Thursday, excuse me, I believe it was Thursday, that for the joy set before him, Christ would endure the cross is that he knew Sunday was on its way, right? That he knew that resurrection was right around the corner and that there was going to be power in that resurrection. And that he was going to break the chains of sin and death. And so for the joy set before him, he willingly endured the cross. Now, when Paul writes these two things, he puts one article in front of it. He says, the power of the resurrection, and it's the same thing. The power of the resurrection and sharing in his sufferings, you can't separate the two. They go together. So why are we surprised when we suffer? We're being made like Christ. It's evidence of his work in our life to make us holy, to sanctify us. It's evidence that there is a future, that he is true to his word, and that even in the suffering, we can live in the power of his resurrection. Man, that changes it, doesn't it? That makes a whole new perspective. Now, it's so interesting, just this idea of knowing. Because I really want to know my wife. Yes, in a biblical sense and also just knowing her. I want to know my wife, okay? But from the very onset of knowing my wife, she had to allow me to know her. I mean, we've all been through that rejection in a dating scene before, right? Where somebody throws the wall up. Okay, no success here. But what makes Elizabeth so incredible in my life is that she said, yes, I want you to know me. Church, do you realize the cross and the resurrection is God's way of saying any wall that is going to stand between you and me has been knocked down by my cross and by my resurrection. I want you to know me. The way is made available for you to know me. Paul says, I want to know you, the power of your resurrection, fellowship in your sufferings. He keeps going. He says, listen, I haven't already obtained this. I'm not already perfect, but one thing I do, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but here's what I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You want to put the past behind you? We need to have this attitude about us. I will press on to make Christ Jesus my own. I will press on. I will forge ahead. I will make him my own. It says there's two parts of this. You got to forget what lies behind you. Hey, it's already dung. It's already excrement. I'm not going to hang around with that. I'm going to forget what lies behind me. I'm going to leave it. Hear this. Continually. That means when I wake up tomorrow, I'm not going to take today and hold it with me. When I wake up next week, I'm not going to remember what happened when I was a teenager and let that burden me. I'm going to leave it behind continually. And I'm going to strain forward to what lies ahead. I'm not going to be content with where I am because God is shaping me into who he is. You know, this cart has a special place and meaning in my life. Because about 2 years ago when I was pushing this cart up here, and we overload them much further than what they should bear, I got a little bit up that hill on the way to the cafeteria entrance, and this back left wheel just came off. So we have bins that are stacked up to here, no higher, or they won't make it through the doors. And so suddenly all of these bins are about to fall, right? And so all buck 55 of me was standing here on this thing trying to hold this cart up without it hitting, because I knew, okay, if I let this go, they're all going to fall. So I was envisioning ways, okay, I'm going to drop it and then stand here and catch all of the bins before the Legos spill out. Or, you know, I'm going to hold this and just pray and cry and hope that something happens. Well, as soon as I start praying and saying, God, you know, what do you want me to do here? You know, really? Is this what's going to happen? A man that we affectionately call the Beast, Chris Hensley, shows up. And this is how he helped earn his nickname, the Beast. Says, Jonathan, what are you doing? Oh, nothing. You know, just hanging out. What happened to the wheel? I don't know. What happened to the wheel? Said, can you take some of these bins off of here? You know, let's just start carrying everything in one at a time. He says, no, I got a better idea. And he grabs this right here, and he became the fourth wheel. He was the wheel, and he pushed the whole cart without anything falling off all the way back up and into the gym, and then we were able to start taking the bins off and putting them down one at a time. You know, there's so many of us in here that have been hurt by something so painful in our past that the wheels have fallen off, right? Jonathan, it sounds good to press ahead and to strain forward, but in reality, I'm just stuck right where I am. And it doesn't make sense to keep straining and trying to push when you're not moving. The only thing that makes sense in that time is to say, Lord, without you, I'm completely stuck. I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue, to pick this thing up that's completely stuck, and to start pressing ahead so that I can learn from you once again how to walk, so that I can observe your moves once again and learn what it means to follow you. Now that's the power of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. And Jesus, we ask in your name that you would come to our rescue. Lord, where the wheels have fallen off, that you would step in and be the wheel for us, Lord Jesus. That when we can't press ahead because of the pain of the past, that you would begin doing a work that picks us up from being stuck, helps us to walk and put one foot in front of the other. Lord, I know that so many of us and everything that I've talked about this morning are at some point along the journey. God, help us to continue to put total faith and commitment in you, to not let anything interfere with that relationship. God, give us spiritual eyes to see what it might be that would interfere, that we could deal with our past and walk confidently towards a glorious future that you hold for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, church, do you mind if we talk just for a moment? It's an exciting week that's ahead. I know as some of you are driving up, we just baptized 4 people in between the services. And yeah, that's incredible. That's more important than the building that's coming up. You know, we had to postpone our cleaning on Friday night to tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And what happened is that they showed up with all of our carpet, and we have earth tones, brown type of stuff, and it was blue carpet. They showed up with the wrong color carpet. So they were still installing the carpet Friday night. It's in now. It looks beautiful. It's great. But we are going to have a cleaning day tomorrow night from 7 to 10 p.m. A lot of you out here are involved in backyard Bible clubs. That means we won't be there until 7:30 to 8 p.m. But a lot of you are not involved in backyard Bible clubs. We need you to stand in the gap for us and show up at 7. You're going to need, there's carpet galore. You're going to need vacuum cleaner. We've got to scrub tile, windows, toilets. We need the appropriate cleaning materials. If you are loving cleaning and having that material, show up. Back our Bible club people, we can come and relieve them. We'll bring pizza around 8 o'clock. I know it's a late dinner, but it's going to be a late night. We want you to come. The soil, the dirt looks fantastic now that it's padded out and flat. We're going to have carpet. We're going to have grass one day this week come through. In case you're wondering how much, a lot of grass, okay? A lot of grass. If we have less than 30 people to put out the grass, it would be a horrible day in the life of our church. We need hands. So we're going to send out an email when the grass is going to arrive for people to show up. We're going to put you on a pallet of grass and spread it around an area. So that'll be one day this week. So if you're not on the newsletter email, that's how we're going to send out the blast to say, grass at this time, can you show up and help us? You can sign up for the newsletter today if you want to be on that list. Thursday night, we'll have our backyard Bible club party there on the church property. And then Saturday night, we're going to have just prayer time in the building and in every room and in every section, allow you to walk through, pray over what's going to happen for the future. Sunday, we'll be cutting ribbon. We'll be celebrating. Here's my advice to you. Show up early on Sunday so you can get a good seat. Love you, church. God be with you.